Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Come on, let's give it up for Altina and everyone in that video. Isn't that amazing? I'm so proud of the team that are serving God and serving you, serving the families here week in and week out in our church. It's just so fantastic. My name is Daniel, and I just want to extend my personal welcome to all of you here this morning. I don't want to take for granted that you choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us. And I'd like to welcome also our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners joining in from all over the world. Thanks for being a part of our gathering this morning as well. Hey, today is a very special Sunday. It's a very important Sunday. The team has been working so hard to prepare for today. We've been praying for this, and I believe it's going to bless you, whoever you are. So it doesn't matter if you're married or not, singles or married. Doesn't matter if you have children or not. I believe today is very important because it's going to affect you. It's going to affect me, it's going to affect our church, it's going to affect our future. So I want everybody to lean in, and I believe that God has something truly special to say to all of us this morning, because we're going to be talking around this big idea of how important it is to have someone interested in our life, to have someone believing in us. So I want to give you a chance, I want to give you 30 seconds to share just that. You know, do you remember the time? Do you remember the person who actually believed in you? Who probably sent you that email? Who probably picked up that phone and called you at the right moment? Who was there for you when you needed them the most? So why don't we take 30 seconds, turn to the person sitting next to you and share, who is that person that has impacted you and has believed in you? Maybe your coach, maybe your teacher, doesn't matter who. Come on, 30 seconds. Say who that person is. 15 seconds each, okay? Don't take too long. All right. 15 more seconds. Maybe some of you, the introverts, this is the worst part of the gathering. That's okay. I feel for you because I'm kind of introvert as well. Hey, I wish I could have all of you up here to share your story, because your story is personal to you. Isn't that right? Your story is important to you. You know, those pivotal moments in your life, you know, when you think that we're probably not going to make it, you have someone, you have a voice that comes into your life that says, I believe in you. I see something special in you. I believe you can do it. In other words, we all need someone to speak into our life. We need someone to believe in us. Someone connected to us, someone who knows us, someone who cares about us, someone who can propel us forward with their words of encouragement, with their advice, with just being there for us, you know? We all need that to survive in this world, because this world is not easy, isn't it? You'll discover that very quickly growing up. And not only do we need to have someone to believe in us, I believe we also need a purpose in this world. We need to believe in someone else as well, just like someone believed in us. We all need a sense of mission in this world, because that's what gives life meaning, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if I ask you, what is your mission in life? Maybe you could tell me a lot of different things. Maybe your mission in life is to make, you know, the best chocolate chip cookie, which is fantastic. If that's your primary mission in life, go for it. And once you find out how to make the best chocolate chip cookie, make sure you let me try it, because I love chocolate chip cookies, you know? But if I were to ask you, which is more important, to have that as your primary life mission, or to lead the next generation, to invest in the next generation with the love of Jesus Christ? Are they equally important? That's my question to you this morning. Okay, I'm not saying this is not important. What I'm saying is, which is more important? Which is more worthwhile to invest your life in? Maybe your primary mission in life is to, you know, save a lot of money and so that you can go and visit some of the best beaches in the world. Maybe that's your primary goal in life. And that's fantastic if that's you as well. Go for it. Again, you can do that, or you can choose to link your life with a group of people who sacrifice everything, who believe so much in the next generation that they choose to spend their resources, their money, their time to invest in the next generation with the love of Jesus Christ. Again, if I ask you, are they equally important, these two missions in life? Obviously, the answer is no, they're not equally important. One is definitely more important than another. So I'm telling you this morning, with the one life that you have, all right, you need to invest wisely. I know a lot of you are investors here. You know, you need to choose wisely how you're going to spend your one precious life in this world. Are you going to fill it with mission in life that probably somewhat important, but maybe you haven't even considered it. Maybe you can fill your life with that mission that is extremely, extremely important. I'm a cheap Asian. I love good bargain. And the reason why I love good bargain, and a lot of people for that matter, they love good bargain, is because they want the investment to be worthwhile. Am I right? They want the investment to be worthwhile. Let me tell you, your investment in the next generation is worth the while. You know why? Because the longer you invest, the better the return. Am I correct? Yeah. You know, the longer you invest, the better the return. So what you invest in a kid right now actually matters more than what you do for an adult later. Think about it. I've dealt with kids, I've dealt with adults. Let me tell you right now, and probably many of you know this, it's so much more difficult to deal with adults, right? It's much more difficult to correct their behavior, their bad habits and all that. Just like when, you know, when I was growing up, you know, sometimes I walk around the neighborhood and I see people building new houses and all that, and people would lay cement, you know, on the ground. Let me ask you, which is easier? To write on wet cement or to write on cement that is already set? Which is easier? Of course, if I can show the next slide. It is so much easier to write on wet cement before it's set. Am I correct? You know, because it's still moldable. You know, it's still pliable. It's still soft. You know, it's so much easier. If you imagine that wet cement as the kid's heart, you know, it's so much easier to write onto their heart, "You are beautiful." But once they've grown up, you know, and they had the trials of life, the challenges of life, the injustice of life, it's so much more difficult to write in their heart, "You're beautiful." It's not so much more difficult to do that. Let me tell you, what you invest in your kid today, what you invest in a kid today is so much more worthwhile and valuable than what you can invest in an adult later. I love what Reggie Joyner said, and it's very true, isn't it? Every church ought to do whatever they can do to help adults, but then every church ought to figure out how they can get adults to turn around and help kids and help students. You know, that's the key. It's so important for us to realize that we as adults, you know, we play such an important role in our kids' life, yeah. All right? Because and this is why at the Rocks, okay, we want to make reaching the next generation our highest priority. It's already our highest priority starting up. We know that already. That's why we invest so much in the kids' environment. That's why kids love to come to our church. But you know what we realized more and more? At the staff meeting in the past few months, past year, I could say, you know, we realized that, hey, there's so much more that we can do and level. We really want to be super deliberate, super intentional in making reaching the next generation our very highest priority in this church, because it is extremely, extremely important. Let me tell you why. Let me give you some sobering truth and statistics about growing up in Australia. Here's the first one. One in four, year four to year nine Australian students, actually more than one in four, 27%, of year four to year nine Australian students are being bullied every few weeks. Every few weeks. My question is, do these kids have someone to walk alongside them to navigate through this difficult period in their life? How about the next statistics? 84% of students who were bullied online were also bullied in person. There's more and more online bullying right now. Again, do these kids have someone to walk alongside them? The next statistics. One in seven young Australians experience a mental health condition. That's a lot of young kids to experience a mental health condition early in life. And this one is this. Look at this. Suicide is the biggest killer of young Australians. 391 deaths in 2015 alone. That's the latest statistic I could find. 391 deaths. That's more than one teenager or a child who killed themselves every day, more than once a day. That's, to me, is unacceptable, all right? It is unacceptable that that happens. Again, my question is, what's going on? Do these kids have anyone who care about them at all? You know, let me tell you this. There have never been a more important time than now to give your life to reach, to influence, and to lead the next generation for Jesus. There's never been a more important time than now. The statistics speak for themselves. All right? That's why we need to rally together. We need to do this together as a community of faith in this place. So the question is, how do we do this? How do we do this? All right? I'm glad you asked. Okay? Let me begin here. Somewhere at the beginning of high school, when you are entering year 7, sometimes earlier, sometimes a bit later, you know, you realize as a child growing up that life is not simple. That life is not always easy. There's pressure from parents, there's pressure from school, there's pressure from their peer, and they create this coping mechanism. There's no name for it, but let's call it the shallow way, all right? And the shallow way is not always bad, because shallow allows you to smile politely, to carry out small talk, and carry on with your day, correct? You know, shallow, allows you that relief, right? Sometimes it's good to be shallow, but shallow all the time will leave you empty. It's good to be shallow in some relationships because then you can be polite socially. You don't want to be like serious and all the time. But so it's okay for you to be shallow some of the time relationally. But if you're shallow all the time relationally, it will leave you lonely. And that's why we know as adults that the shallow way doesn't work, you know? We tear ourselves apart living the life the shallow way. And children will soon find out as well that, you know, this very coping mechanism that they put up actually is the very one that, you know, tear them apart later on in life as an adult. It doesn't work the shallow way. And people, this is what we do, and this is like, it's mind-boggling. You know, we mask the shallow way by what we call the deeper way, you know. And the church is partly to blame for this, because we think the solution to our tendency to live life in the shallow way, you know, in our culture, need to be combated with the deep way or the deeper way. And we shove it on our children, the right theology. You know, we shove it in our children, the Bible stories and what, you know, important doctrinal truth, you know, spiritual practice and so on, thinking that that's the solution. But speak to these kids, all right, and ask yourself, what do you think they need? Do you think they need deeper worship songs? Do you think they need more Bible studies, deeper Bible studies? Do you think they need deeper doctrines? You think? I mean, I'm all for deep teaching. I think I love deep teaching more than any of you, all right? I love studying the Bible. But let me tell you, deep teaching, if it's not accompanied with deep relationship, is useless. It's useless. How many church kids fall off the grid later on in life? Pastors' kids even, right? I mean, you know, we pastors, we're good at teaching our kids the right doctrines, the right belief and all that. But a lot of pastors don't spend enough time with their children. That's why a lot of pastors' kids fall away growing up, you know. So what they need is not deeper teaching, deeper theology, deeper worship song. The solution, the antidote to the shallow way is not the deeper way, but the personal way. The personal way. That's what they need. They need you to connect with them in a personal way. You know, the next generation is desperate for this. The next generation is desperate for you to see them personally. The next generation needs you to see the everyday world that is defining them. They need you to see their private doubts that are restraining them. They need you to see the potential future that is waiting for them. They need you to be the feet and the arms of Jesus for them. You know why? Because it's very simple. This is the Jesus way. The Jesus way is a personal way. Jesus doesn't know how to do anything else. The way he deals with us is in a personal way. You know, you all, some of you who call yourself a follower of Christ, if you're not a follower of Christ, I appreciate you for being here this morning. But if you're a follower of Christ, you know how God, how Jesus has dealt with you personally, right? In your personal situation, in your personal need, Jesus met with you in that way. And I want to just read you a simple story from the New Testament. It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke. It's a fantastic little story. So I'm not going to do a lot of Bible teaching today, but if you just understand this simple truth, I believe it's going to change your view of who Jesus is and how you should do ministry in your life. All right? So Luke chapter 19, starting from verse 1, says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He was only passing through on the way somewhere else. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. And if you know anything about taxation system at the time, if you were a chief tax collector, you are public enemy number one. You are the most hated of all people. In fact, you have a special category of your own. You know, the Bible often mentions sinners and tax collectors. That means you are worse than sinners if you're a tax collector, all right? So that's who Zacchaeus is. And verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. You know, there's no way, he thought to himself, that I could see Jesus for myself unless I do this. Because I imagine the crowd was pushing him, you know, elbowing him, jabbing him. Because he was Zacchaeus. Nobody liked him. So he had to figure out a way how he could see Jesus. That means, you know, even though he was forgotten, he was desperate for something real. Yeah. He was desperate for Jesus. And then something amazing happened. In verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So you can imagine how ecstatic Zacchaeus was. So he came down at once, like he couldn't come down fast enough, and welcomed him, how? Gladly. You know, Jesus took the time and the trouble to identify Zacchaeus, pull him away from the crowd. Who was Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, by this time, he had lost his sense of identity. He was Jewish, but, you know, he worked for the Roman Empire. He lost his sense of belonging. None of the Jewish friends and family members accepted him. He lost his sense of purpose in this world. Maybe he thought, man, I'm going to be a tax collector for the rest of my life. I'm set to be the bad guy for the rest of my life. You know, he got nothing. He was forgotten. He was ignored. But then Jesus took him personally. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem to save the world. Remember verse 1? He was just passing through Jericho. He was on the way to the cross to save you and me, and yet he took the time to spend some time with Zacchaeus, telling us that mission is personal. Ministry is very personal. All right? The church, let me tell you, the church needs more Christ followers to learn how to serve and be personal, because too many kids, like Zacchaeus, feel invisible and ignored. Feel invisible and ignored. Let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. The personal way is not easy. The shallow way is easy, all right? The shallow way is easy, but the personal way is complicated. Shallow is fast. Personal takes time. Shallow is safe, personal is risky. And this is very good too. Shallow is cheap, but personal will cost. It will cost you. How you parent, how you serve, It's going to cost you if you choose to do it the personal way. If you're a parent, the easy way to parent your kid is to just give them an iPad, right? Don't bother me. Daddy has Netflix to watch, you know? Play with the iPad, right? You know, don't worry about us. You know, you can go with your friends and enjoy yourself because mommy and daddy has something else more important to do, you know? The shallow way is easy. The personal way is hard. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. And in this church, we choose to do it the personal way. It's very important. Harvard University did a study. This is amazing, okay? The single most common factor for children who develop resilience, listen to this very carefully. This is the absolute truth. The single most common factor for children who develop resilience is at least one stable and committed relationship with a supportive parent, caregiver, or other adult. You know, I'm glad I married Hulda because Jaden has at least one stable parent in the family. The other one is still working on it. All right? We can't help kids if they don't have a supportive parent. There's nothing we can do as a church about that. There's nothing we can do if a child doesn't have a caregiver. But let me tell you what we can do as a church. We can give every child who comes through this door another caring adult to walk alongside them. Right. Yeah. We can do that as a church. Yeah. All right? So that's why at The Rocks, this is very important. At The Rocks, we are committed. We are so committed to this, like you wouldn't believe. We'll do anything to make this happen. We are committed to partner with parents to provide other adult figures to be another caring voice in the kids' lives. Jaden is 13 years old now. He's at that stage in his life where, yeah, he still listens to me, which is great. That's a testimony to my good parenting. But guess what? You know, he also starts hearing other voices. He starts life, and I'm so glad that Jaden has Marcel, his small group leader. Marcel would drive to our house, and he lives in Kennington, and he would drive to Leeming, where I live, to North Lake, to pick up Jaden to go watch a movie. Can you imagine that? You know, now it's like, Jaden, do you want to watch Endgame with me? No, Dad, I want to watch it with Marcel. You see? It's important. It's important for a teenager. It's important for a kid growing up that they have a voice other than their parents who will speak the same thing you would to them, but in a different voice. It's so important. That's why we're so committed to this. All right? Our strategy is this. Our strategy is to link up adults with kids and with teenagers on a regular basis. On a regular basis. That's why here's what I want you to do, because we're here for you. We're here to support you. We're not here to replace you, parents. You still need to be that stable, responsible parent that I know you can be to your children. But here's what you can do. This is how you can help us help you, okay? Here's an application for you, parents. So parents, listen up. I need you to pick one gathering. You can choose whether it's the 9 a.m. We call this meeting gathering. You can choose either 9 a.m., 11 a.m., or 5 p.m. that you will come to regularly. Let me tell you why this is important. You need to pick one and come to this gathering regularly so that your child will have a consistent relationship with the same small group leaders. All right? We're going to provide two for them. You know, one, the helper and all that. But you know, it's important for your child to have another voice in their life on a consistent basis. So if you pick the same gathering every Sunday to come, guess what? In 1 year, all right? In 1 year, your kid will have developed a relationship with another adult other than you who will speak the same voice as you. It's so important, isn't it? You know, when I saw that, when I put up that picture of a teenager shooting himself, and when a child goes through their parents' divorce, would there be someone to walk alongside them, to help them navigate through that difficult moment in their life? Because things happen. Death in the family, getting bullied by friends at school. You know, it's not enough to just teach them content. It's not enough. They need someone who would listen to them. They need someone who care for them. So it's important. And not only do you need to pick a good, you know, one gathering that you come to consistently, you need to come on time as well, because, you know, the kids gathering start, you know, when we start here. You don't want your kid to miss out on what they do at the beginning, the fun, you know, the relationship, the high fives and all that. It's important for them to be in this community where they get all the support that they can get. All right? So that's application for parents. What about application for us as a church as we bring this to a close? Here's what we can do. If you're not currently serving, I want you to start serving. And I want you to consider family ministry to be the area that you will serve in. Because guess what? As we grow larger and larger, we don't need 3 drummers every service. We just need 1, all right? It doesn't matter if 500 people come here or 200 people come here. We can't do with 3 drummers. We can only do with 1, all right? Maybe we can do with 1 or 2 keyboardists and all that. But as our church grow bigger and bigger, there will be more and more children here. We need more small group leaders. We need more adults to invest in their lives. So if you're not currently serving, this is my challenge to you. This is worth spending your life in, let me tell you. Right? There's nothing else that is more worthwhile than this because of the return on investment that you're going to get. So that's the first thing. Second, if you are already serving, would you consider serving more? Because we have a big shortage right now in our family ministry, and we know this is so important. This is so important. There's so many different areas that you can serve in, you know. The pushback I often hear is this, you know, I don't know much about the Bible, you know. I don't know if I can because I don't know much about the Bible. Well, think about that person that I asked you at the beginning, remember? Who is that person who believed in you? How much do they know about the Bible? Let me ask you. My guess is not much, right? You don't need much to actually learn to love children. You just need willingness. God just needs your availability. You know, maybe you're already serving somewhere and you know you have more capacity. Hey, I can spend another 2 hours every week to serve these kids. Why don't you do that? If you're already serving, why don't you serve more? And number 3, if you're already serving a lot, would you find someone else to serve? Help us recruit. You know, this is something easy for you to do because as that person that you try to recruit say yes, guess what? Suddenly we have an extra hand and you don't even have to do anything about it. Isn't that wonderful? You know, why don't you just speak on our behalf and says, hey, would you consider serving in our church? We have great children ministry program in our church and we need you to serve alongside us. All right? Next slide. This is important. And I really mean this. The legacy of any great church will not be measured by how many show up on a Sunday. To me, that's not important. Yes, of course, we want to reach more and more people. But by how many actually decide to show up in someone's life. Because that's what legacy is all about, isn't it? And I'm telling you, once again, it's worth every second that you spend to help these kids to navigate through life. I want to invite Michael now to come on stage. Why don't you give Michael a hand? Michael is our acting kids director, and Michael will explain to us, why don't you explain to us the new environments that we have for these wonderful people so that they know what we're doing here.
Well, hey everyone, we're so excited today that we launch our new branding of our family ministry. If you have checked outside, we have completely changed the outlook of our preschooler area. We call it now Wombaland. It used to be called Tiny Tots and Noah's Ark, but now it's called Wombaland. And you're wondering, what's Womba? Womba means creator. It's the creator's land. We would like every preschooler to understand 3 truths. The first one is that God created them. God made them. Second one, that God loves them. And number 3, God wants to be their friends. So from walking until kindy, those are the 3 truths that they are going to learn every single weekend. And then the next one is upstreet. It used to be called Little Rockers, but now because we are upstairs, upstreet, that's right. So used to be from year 1 until year 5, but now we also invite the pre-primary, which is the 5-year-old, to come and join upstreet. So there are a total of 6 years in upstreet. And the next one up is Transit. And this also is upstairs in the new mezzanine. So if you haven't checked out our new mezzanine, you are allowed to do that today. It's so cool upstairs. And Transit is happening on room 202 and 203. And that's for year 6 and year 7. And that happens every Sunday. But the next one up is actually our youth, Ignite. Ignite Youth is happening every Friday, 6:30 during school terms. So all these four different environments, we want them to understand about four different things. The first one is about health, and we want to equip and partner with parents. And the second one is about knowing about their sexual understanding. The third one is about technology. And the fourth one is about their relationship. So we would like to encourage you to check out the booth outside about family ministry. Do you know that there are only about 40 hours a year that the church actually connected to your kids? But every single parents have 3,000 hours per year.
40 against 3,000.
40. That's if you come 40 times a year. That's like you miss out 12 weeks. But that's average. But you have 3,000 hours per year to spend with your kids. And we as a church, we would like to partner with you to be able to enable you to win so that our children, our students, they will have their authentic faith. It's the kind of faith that not being shoved into their mouth, but they can understand that Jesus is for them, that I can trust Him, that I can treat others the way I want to be treated, and I can make wise choices.
All right. Wonderful, Michael. One last question before I let you go. A lot of people think that you have to be female and young to serve at the family ministry.
It is very famous. It is very famous among churches that only the young female ones or moms, or young moms, or even young moms to serve. But I would like to challenge everyone in different life stage. Mm. Whether you're a student in a university, just graduated, you're working, you're still single, you're married, your parent, young kids, parent of older kids, or an empty nester, I would like to challenge you, especially men. We would like to see more men more involved, right? That's why I'm wearing this upstreet. So I want to see more men wearing this t-shirt, Wombaland t-shirt, Transit t-shirt, because we want to see. Because this is the thing. We are teaching them and encouraging them to know the God that they cannot see. Mm-hmm. But they can learn about God from the people who follow God.
Yeah.
So I follow God. And if you are God, Christ follower, they can see God through you.
Yeah.
And also through their parents.
Yeah. Wonderful. Why don't we give Mike a hand? Thank you so much, Mike, for all the good work that you do. It's wonderful. Let me encourage you again. On your seat, you would have these cards already, but hang on to that. I'm going to explain to you in a minute what you can do with this. But I want to show you a video, a very powerful video, all right? I came across this video a few years ago, but this video will remind us of how important it is, how crucial it is for us to invest in the lives of our children. Let's watch this, and I'll come back.
We love to laugh and play.
We love music,
mobile phones,
and our video games.
We love hanging out with our friends.
We love to SMS
and chat online.
You'll find us hanging out at the shops,
at home,
in parks,
playing footy,
and at church.
We are your children
and youth,
your future
and your responsibility.
It's getting harder to live for God
and stand up for what we believe in.
The call of the world is drowning out the voice of our parents,
our leaders, and the church.
We are facing pressures that no other generation has had to deal with.
We don't need more programs or events.
We need you to help us.
We need people to reach out to us.
We need people to love us.
We need people to mentor and train us.
We need people to believe in us
and minister to us.
We want you to help equip
and release us to serve God.
We are a small feet army in training,
not soldiers in waiting.
Please don't underestimate us.
We are your church today
and tomorrow.
But guess what?
You're losing us.
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 What will you do to reach us?
Will you follow Jesus' example?
And make time to bless us?
Can you teach us how to live for God?
We are within your grasp.
Don't let us slip through your fingers.
We need you.
Please take the time to help change our lives.
Because time is running out.
We're growing up fast.
Because in 10 years, I'll be 27.
I'll be 21.
In 10 years, I'll be 16.
I'll be 24.
I'll be 25.
In 10 years, I'll be 18.
I'll be 22.
In 10 years, I'll be 23.
I'll be 22.
I'll be 19.
In 10 years, I'll be 15.
I'll be 26.
I'll be 25.
I'll be 27.
The question is.
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 The big question is.
So in 10 years, will you have impacted this generation?
Makes me want to cry when I watch that video. We are losing precious time with our children. A lot of people choose to just standing idly by, not doing anything about it. That's not going to be us. It's not going to be our church, let me tell you that for sure. We're going to do anything and everything in our power to invest in the next generation, because the next generation is not the future of the church. They are the present church right now. So on your seat, would you take this and fill this up? And also, there's another way you can do this. Even if you have the slightest inkling, maybe you don't know much about this ministry, maybe you think, I don't want to sign my life away not knowing what I'm signing up for. It doesn't matter, all right? If you have an interest, you want to find out more, I want you to sign up anyway, all right? Because someone is going to call you, someone is going to explain to you, answer your questions, you're going to come to an orientation. If by that time, I trust you, by that time, you're going to say, yes, sign me up. But even in the event that by that time you say, I don't think this is for me, you're free to go, okay? But I just want you to please consider God using you to invest in the next generation. So I want you to take up your mobile device right now. Take your mobile phone out, all right? You can go to this website, www.therocks.info, and I want you to take it out right now, all right? Even if you're not planning to sign anything, that's all right, take it out. Don't check your Facebook, but just take out your mobile phone. And I want you to type on your browser, www.therocks.info. I just want you to check it out, all right? I want to show you how simple it is. It's going to take you less than 60 seconds to sign up and show your interest and find out more about this ministry, okay? Don't count yourself out just yet. You never know how God is going to use you. I never thought in my life that I would be a pastor. But God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the wise. You know, God always has a funny idea of how He can use people. You know, it's interesting. And I'm glad that He doesn't always choose the obvious. I want you to consider. So at the very top, once you click in this address, www.therocks.info, on the top tab, there's a tab that says it's personal. I want you to tap it, and it will bring you to a page where you can put your name down, or you can do it here on your card as well. So I want to take 1 minute to do this. I want to give you an opportunity, because we need you, like all these kids say. We need you. Put your name down, mobile and email, and then you can choose which area you might possibly be interested in, whether Womberland, Upstreet, Transit, or Ignite Youth, okay? Maybe you want to choose, I don't know, maybe I want to check out two, doesn't matter. But just choose one if you can, and you can change your mind later on as well once you find out more about these different environments, okay? Maybe now you think, okay, I think I want to be in Womberland, but after you find out more, maybe Upstreet is more for you, it doesn't matter, we can change that later. But why don't you take some time right now to just write this card down. Don't forget to visit our booth outside. There's some interesting information there for you. You can ask any questions. There will be leaders who will be there. Michael will be there. You can ask them any question. Chloe will be there. You can ask them any question you want with regard to the family ministry that we have in our church. If you've finished writing these cards, would you please hold on to it? And on your way out, there will be some host who will be standing by the door with a bucket. Make sure you drop this into that bucket on your way out so that we don't lose it. Okay? Fantastic.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.